Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. It is always a pleasure when I get to spend some time with you. So settle in, relax. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes. Today on the program, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. When I read over the readings, the message I get is letting God be God, or true humility, or God is God and I am not. Now, sometimes this is a tough message, but let's be honest. At one time or another, for some of us, it happens a little too frequently. We question why God allows certain things to happen. We get frustrated. We rack our brains trying to figure out why he is putting us in a certain situation, as opposed to understanding or accepting the fact that he's God, and we shouldn't, with our limited human intellect, we shouldn't expect to be able to figure out everything he does. Because if we could, then we would be God. He wouldn't. And I know this sounds like such a simple message, and it shouldn't come as a surprise, and I'm sure it doesn't. But why do we do it? I do it. And I have a feeling you might do it too sometimes. As we look at these readings today, we're going to see individuals in situations where they acknowledge their limitations. And look, let's be honest. If we are ever going to walk by faith, if we ever are going to place our trust in God, we have to admit that we need him, that we can't handle things by ourselves. And that's what he wants. It doesn't mean he doesn't want us to use our brains. He does. But he wants to be part of our decision-making process. He wants us to lean on him and not as our own understanding, as the Bible says. He expects us to rely upon him, to do what we can with his help. But so many times, I know I struggle with this. So many times we want to do it our way and not really bring him into our lives because we're so busy running around. So I pray today that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we'll all be able to come to a greater acceptance of God is God and we're not. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Heavenly Father and let's turn to him in prayer and let's begin this show acknowledging the fact that he knows what's best for us today. You know, I'm doing the show, I'm the host, but I don't even know exactly the message that he wants me to deliver. So as I pray this, I'm praying that he guides me to deliver the right message, to use the right words, and that he touches each of our hearts with his Holy Spirit so that we can hear what he has to say and be willing to put it into practice. Please join me as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, thank you for being here with us right now. We know that you are here with us. We know that you can hear our words. We know that you can see us. We know that you love us. And Father, we know that you are infinitely wiser than we are. We know that we can't possibly understand you completely. And we pray, Father, that with your help, we'll be able to hear your message for us this day and willingly choose to surrender ourselves to your will. Your will be done, Father. We pray for all of our needs, for the needs of our family and our friends. We pray for our country. We pray for those around the world who are struggling. We pray for our church. We pray for all the poor souls in purgatory. We pray for anyone who doesn't know you, Father. We pray for those who are in most need of your mercy. We pray for all those who are searching for you but might not realize it. And as I said earlier, Father, please send your Holy Spirit down upon me today so that I can deliver the message you want me to deliver. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we would be willing to accept your message, to understand it, and to put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you. Hey, you know what? Before we go any further, So this is the fifth, we're going to talk about the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time today. We've got a few more Sundays, the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th Sunday. So we got three more Sundays after today. And then we are into Lent. Isn't that unbelievable? Now, with that in mind, I'm just going to remind you, give up worry for Lent. You've heard me speak about it many times in the past. Well, we're going to do it again this year. So you will be hearing more about Give Up Worry for Lent. In case you're not familiar with it, it's my best-selling book out of all the books I've written. None of them have sold as much as this book. And I've noticed looking at the especially on Amazon, the sales charts, the book is, I think, the highest it's ever been in terms of sales at this point in time. So that's pretty amazing. That book is, what a blessing it has been to me. And we're going to talk about it. I'll incorporate it into the show. But I just want to give you a chance. If you want to pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, it's a very easy book to use during the Lenten season. It consists of daily devotions that are very practical, biblically based, and only take a few minutes each day. You can pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, or anywhere you buy online books. Just Google Give Up Worry for Lent. I've lined up more speaking engagements than I ever have before this Lenten season. My full schedule is on followingthetruth.com. Just check out the schedule there. And if I'm coming to a parish near you, I really hope you'll stop by. And, you know, it's also not too early to book me to come into your parish or your conference for the rest of 2025. Of course, my Lent is filled up now, but also for 2026. So just contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com, and we'll set it up so that I'm able to come to your parish or conference. Also, one more thing. If you want to sign up for my daily email reflections, which are completely free of charge, you can do so at followingthetruth.com. Once Lent rolls around, we're going to kick into a Give Up Worry for Lent theme each day. So I'm going to supplement the material in the book. I've been doing this for several years now, and it's been working out really nicely. So if you're interested in doing that, head on over to followingthetruth.com. All right, let's look at these readings now. We'll do it the way we always do it here. We'll begin with the gospel. We're going to surrender to the church's opinion that the Gospels have a place of prominence among the books of the Bible. That's what I always like to do. That's why I begin with the Gospel, and then we back up, and we look at the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the second reading, and try to find those connections and why the church used these readings and pieced them all together. So we begin with Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And let's just read it. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." Now, I'm going to pause here for a minute and just call your attention to what's happening here. Peter's the fisherman. Jesus, he's the evangelist. He's the preacher. Jesus is not a fisherman by trade. But yet, for some reason, Simon Peter tells Jesus, "Look, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. That was prime fishing time during the night. Now, you're telling me in the morning, after the prime fishing time has passed, you're telling me to go back out and try it again?" It might not make sense at first in the mind of Peter, but for some reason he chose to obey Jesus. And I think that's a great reminder, a great lesson for us. Not everything that happens in our lives, remember that nothing can happen without the Lord's permission. He doesn't always explicitly will bad thing. He doesn't will evil ever, but it can't happen without his permission. So there is a permissive acceptance of evil by the Lord. He allows it to exist. So bad things can happen to you or to me with his permission. Why is that? Because he can bring good out of it, and he knows he can bring good out of it. And he's that amazing that he's able to do that, to bring good out of evil. So Peter acknowledging, like, okay, this doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to choose to listen to Jesus. So what happens next? When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Now, this is kind of amazing what's happening here. We have an example of Peter obviously having doubts about what Jesus was telling him. But he chose to trust in spite of his doubts. And then when it took place, when Jesus came through, when Jesus came through and he caught a miraculous number of fish, Peter obviously felt bad about doubting Jesus. But what the and he repented. He said, "I'm a sinful man. I'm sorry I didn't trust you." But, you know, in reality, he did trust him. And I think that really represents all of us. Or it's a good image of each one of us at times. How many times do you not really believe that something's going to work out, that God can really bring good out of something in your life? But you choose to go along and say, "All right, I'm going to keep praying about this. Doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to keep praying about it." We're like Peter when we do that. But look what happens after this. After this took place, that affected Peter and the other apostles. And they chose at this point to leave everything and follow Jesus. Jesus will perform miracles. Sometimes I call them ordinary miracles. They're not always extraordinary, jaw-dropping miracles. But I've seen it so many times in my life. He has come through in ways that help to increase my faith in him. And I bet you could name some too, where you think like, "Oh my gosh, how did that work out?" And why he does that, why he chooses to come through with these miracles. Oftentimes they're pretty ordinary miracles. They're not always extraordinary miracles. He does that to help build our faith and our confidence in him, because he understands that we have a limited human intellect. We can't think like he does. So every now and then, and he knows when the right time is, he's going to do these things and perform these things, these actions. He's going to let us realize that, wow, he really helped me. Therefore, I have all the more reason to trust in him. Right? He understands when the time comes to give us these signs to help us to better trust in him. Because he knows us. He knows our human nature. He knows that if he doesn't do this, we're going to get to the point where we get fed up with following him and say, "That's it, I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to go to church anymore." And that's how much he loves you and me. He's willing to, even though he doesn't have to, he's willing, he wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to trust him, especially at those times when we don't understand. But he doesn't want to risk losing us. And he wants to meet us where we are with our imperfect faith, right? And he'll know when the time is right to come through with an answer to a prayer, sometimes in a very big way, so that our confidence in him will grow and we'll keep walking with him. Let's look at the first reading now and see if we can find another theme of, and look, this is what humility, this is true humility. At this point, Peter realized, hey, he's God, I'm not. And you and I, we forget that sometimes. Yeah, if somebody asks us, are you God? We, of course, would say no. But why is it that we try to figure out everything he's doing, get frustrated when he's not answering our prayers fast enough, question, how am I ever going to get through this particular situation? Right? Because we think we're smarter than he is at that point. Okay? Let's look at the first reading, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried one to the other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, See now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am. Send me. And really, this is what, look, the Lord was calling the apostles, and he worked with them to help them have greater confidence in him so that they were willing to trust him. And he did the same here. We see the same thing with the prophet Isaiah, recognizing, hey, I'm not God. I'm a nobody. I'm a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips, living in among people with unclean lips. But then the Lord touched him, changed him, transformed him, and cleaned him of his sin. That's what happens in baptism for us. It happens when we go to confession. So yeah, I'm a sinner, but the Lord's going to purify me if I get baptized, if I go to confession, so that I can do his work and follow him. You know, that's all part of the process. That's all part of the process of following the Lord. And, today is this Sunday for this weekend. It is also designated as World Day for Consecrated Life. It's also World Marriage Day. So you see the theme of people consecrating their lives to the Lord. We acknowledge those who are members of the clergy, members of religious orders as well, who are choosing to follow the Lord, who are on their own not worthy. None of us are worthy of doing God's work, but he works with us. He sends us his Holy Spirit. He makes us clean. He enables us. He gives us the power to speak on his behalf. And that's humility, recognizing that. Pope Francis realizes that. He realizes he's a sinner. He said it. We all are. None of us are worthy. But when the Lord gives us his Holy Spirit, he works in us to make us worthy of doing his work. You and I, we're called to continue the work of Jesus in the world. Am I worthy? Heck no. But you've heard it said, maybe you haven't, there's an old saying, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And by virtue of our baptism, our confirmation, we're commissioned to go out there and be Jesus to those around us. Some people do it in a formal way. Members of the clergy, members of religious orders or communities. But me as a lay person, the Lord's also commissioning me, calling me to share him with others. And you too. Remember, yeah, you might not be worthy. Neither am I. Neither is Pope Francis. Neither are the bishops or priests. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, sent by Jesus and the Father, we are made worthy, we're purified, and called and enabled to do His work. This responsorial Psalm 138, in the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name because of your kindness and your truth. For you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. Great is the glory of the Lord. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord. I will do it even though I am not worthy, even though I'm incapable of doing it. But as this psalm said, when I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I do have what it takes to continue the work of Jesus. That's one of the reasons I always pray to the Holy Spirit at the beginning of this show. I know on my own I can't do this, but with his help, he can use even somebody imperfect like me to do his work. Let's look at the second reading now from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received, and in which you also stand. Through it, you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and so you believe. You talk about humility. Here we go. St. Paul, an amazing evangelist and apostle. He's saying, I am the least of the apostles. You talk about humility. He's accepting the fact that he is weak. He really views himself as weak, the least of the apostles. Do you think? Lesser than Judas? But this is the way Paul thinks of himself. He's humble. You know, it doesn't mean that you're ineffective. If you admit you have weaknesses, it doesn't mean you're ineffective. It just means that you have a lot of room for God to work in your life. And that's something, excuse me, something I acknowledge all the time. At least I try to. Sometimes I forget. I am weak. Of course I'm weak. Is that going to stop God from working in me? No. Unless I don't turn to him and ask for him to help me. How about if I keep committing the same sins over and over and over? I sometimes can get frustrated, discouraged, hopeless, thinking that I'm never going to get better. Well, that's pride. That's actually pride. Humility is saying, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm not surprised. And then keep turning to the Lord with confidence. Then he's going to give me the grace to eventually, you know, not instantly, but eventually overcome my sinful tendency and rise above that sin. Might never be perfect, but it'll get a little better. I've seen it happen in my life with certain sins I just couldn't stop committing. Many of them I'm still working on. They're not going away as fast as I would like, but I have definitely seen a difference. But it takes patience, patience with God, patience with myself, and the acceptance that He's God, I'm not. And I can't always figure out why He does what He does, why He allows certain things to happen. I can't figure it out. And rather than me trying to figure it out, why, Lord, I think a better question to ask is, what do you want me to learn from this, Lord? Or what can I do for you in this situation? I don't like the situation you got me in right now, Lord. How can I serve you? As opposed to why? Why me, Lord? Look, I'm guilty of this. I ask that question more than I should. But it's really something we can work on and should work on. Trying to overcome a tendency to figure God out. You know, this is what faith is all about. Faith requires trust, and trust requires us, even though we don't have all the information, to surrender to somebody who does have the information. That's what we saw Peter do today. That's what Isaiah did. That's what Paul did. And that's what you and I are called to do. So I want to thank you for tuning in today. Remember to head on over to followingthetruth.com and pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, as well as sign up for my daily email reflection. We call it Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If you want to contact me, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your donations to my ministry. And I appreciate the fact that you continue to show up, sit around the table with me as we look at the weekly Sunday Mass readings. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Always remember that you're in my prayers. And if you'd be so kind as to pray for me and my family, I would very much appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And remember, God's God. You and me, we're not. Have a great week. God bless you. Hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.